The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
Hey, come on, man. Ain't nobody sticking us and bleeding us. Oh, they're just doing the best they can for us. Yeah, we got that whole new tax package. Sounds real good, but I tell you what. Anytime that Congress and our leadership in D.C. does us any favors with tax reform, you can just bet you they ain't done us no favors. And so I don't sit here with bated breath. I don't sit there holding my breath, because the end result is never pretty. There's always something hidden, but I'm not going to waste my time talking about that. How's everybody doing tonight? Jeff Bennett here for the second hour of the National Intel Report, another installment of Protecting Your Wealth. The question is there anything left to protect? Because this is what I'm discovering with so many people. They just don't have that much left to protect. They're trying to protect their food pantry. They're trying to protect their gas tank. They're trying to protect the ability to afford to buy a new pair of underwear. Because with what's taken place economically in this nation over the last God knows how many years, they can't clean their old underwear anymore. Now, you make out of that what you will. I know what I meant. You determine what I meant. Am I being facetious? No. Not one bit. Markets today, interesting. Dow Jones Industrial dropped 109 points today to close at 24,180. S&P 500 down just under 10 points at 26,29. NASDAQ down a little over 13 in their session at 67.62. Oil down 22 cents. You know, I've not done a market report for a week. I had commitments to my granddaughter last Thursday night, and I could not be here. And I got to be honest with you, in the overall scheme of things, when it comes down to getting the airwaves, talking to you folks once in a while, or being there for my granddaughters, you make a decision which one is going to come first. And that's the decision I made. Some of the headlines I'm looking at. Republican tax bill makes big winners of Amgen and Gilead and other drug makers. Don't even get me started with that conversation. Another bailout of Fannie and Freddie. The Trump tax calculator, will you pay more or less? Yeah, one way or the other, we'll pay more or less. Why a Roth IRA conversion might be even smarter next year if the tax bill passes. Well, something's going to pass. If you don't eat the right food, you can darn near guarantee what is going to pass. Gold bugs hope to tap Bitcoin's motherload of profits. Time allowing, we'll get to that one later. Well, here's an interesting headline. The top bathroom upgrades that all homeowners need to consider. Is that marvelous? I mean, this is stuff that's important? Not quite. Americans feel worse off today than they did 50 years ago. It's an interesting survey. They interviewed people in like 35 or 40 countries around the world. People in Vietnam feel a lot better than they did 50 years ago. Well, 50 years ago, they were, you know, sitting there flying around in helicopters, shooting bullets at rice paddies. Of course they feel better. Precious metals markets, rhodium. Whew, rhodium's up since we talked last. It's up about $50. Rhodium flat today at $1,425 an ounce. Palladium up $1 at $977. Platinum flat, $914 an ounce. Silver in the aftermarket is up a whopping penny. Silver took a nosedive since we were together last. It's down to $16.07 an ounce. If you're looking to buy silver, you want to pick up that phone, give me a call. I actually had a client, a prospective client, a person who was referred to me by an old client in Tennessee. He refers a lot of people to me. And she just, you know, I was 30 minutes away from showtime. I was having technical issues. I had to concentrate. All she wants to do is get a couple of sleeves of silver ordered. Well, sleeves could mean junk silver. A tube is typically, you know, when you're buying silver eagles, maple leafs, 1 ounce rounds, you know, whether they be of the A-Mark variety or the Buffalo design, whatever the case may be, doesn't matter. Get off the air. I got to run up to the post office. I forgot to go up there and get a check, which should be there, I'm sure. My eyes are clogged up. Gold, down another $1 in the after hours at $1,264.90. Now, that's not good. I mean, it's good if you ain't bought yet. But it's not good. I have to scroll back up to our notes, man. I sent you some stuff. I'm talking to the studio for a second. I'm having a loose night, so just please bear with me a moment. I had to move to a different studio or a different office in my building because of some technical issues I'm having, which I've never had before, but I now understand why it's happening. Oh, let me tell you why. Because Skype is trying to force me to upgrade why did that happen? They're trying to force me to upgrade a older version of Skype that I have, and I don't want it. It's the pits. It is the absolute pits. And what I have to go through to use it, I hate. It's horrible. So the heck with it, you know. Do you remember what helped bring about the market crash of 2008? It wasn't just real estate, folks. It was derivatives. Big time. Derivatives. Well, guess what? They're back. And they're back in a big way. The UK's Financial Conduct Agency recently fined Merrill Lynch $45 million, which once again has sparked concerns over the massive derivatives market. The wealth management division of Bank of America has failed to report more than 68 million derivatives transactions dating all the way back to 2014. and has already been forced to pay $20 million in 2015 for an earlier offense. And despite major players throughout the financial industry paying a total of over $350 billion since 2008, these same institutions are still thriving, and they've amassed more than $1 trillion in profits. So a few million here and a few million here doesn't mean squat to these bums. The current penalties amount to little more than a slap on the wrist for these mega banks, and they become a normal part of doing business. And so it's no surprise that the same reckless behavior that helped lead to the Great Recession is still rampant. The global derivatives market was reportedly as large as $1.5 quadrillion in 2016, and things have improved. Things have not improved. Collusion between large financial institutions, the central banks, governments around the world have fostered an environment with almost zero accountability. But hopefully, as more people become educated about the possible dangers associated with complex financial derivatives, it's going to be easier to prevent wild speculation like what's seen but today. But I don't see that coming. Look, derivatives are one of the most complex. Bear with me here. I got to make sure my eyes can function here. They are one of the most complex, least understood financial instruments. And instead of establishing their value through a share of a company's profits or a future dividend, derivatives are essentially side bets made between third parties. Commodity future contracts are an example of a simple derivative. Farmers have used them to protect themselves against price changes that could significantly impact their businesses from season to season. And yet, these financial tools, they're not just limited to hard assets. They can be used to speculate on every industry and asset and currency in the world financial system. It's like the roll of the dice in Vegas. It's the crap table. It's the roulette wheel. And so the growing attention from regulators on the derivatives market may uncover what many investors and economists previously warned about. In 2003, Warren Buffett infamously classified derivatives as weapons of mass destruction, and in fact, time bombs. And he doubled down on the assertion during a more recent interview when he said, at some point, they are likely to cause big trouble. Derivatives lend themselves to huge amounts of speculation. The problem arises when there is a discontinuity in the market for some reason or another, when the markets close like it was for a few days after 9/11 or in World War I. The market was closed for 4 to 5 months. Anything that disrupts the continuity of the market when you have got trillions of dollars of nominal amounts outstanding and no ability to settle up. And who knows what happens when the market reopens. Merrill Lynch and B of A have not been the only ones prosecuted over their derivatives exposure and practices. Deutsche Bank, they're poised to fork out over $60 billion for using currency derivatives to speculate on U.S. inflation rates. There was the London whale scandal, ended up costing J.P. Morgan $920 million. And just a month ago, Citibank was ordered to close $2 billion worth of derivatives taken over during the collapse of Lehman Brothers. The collapse of Lehman Brothers? That was 10 years ago, people. And so these potentials for volatile swings in market valuations can only undermine the solvency of institutions that hold a majority of the pensions, the savings accounts, the retirement funds for the public. Your money is being held by institutions who are rolling the dice with whether you're going to have any left by the end of the day or not. The first overview report on the EU derivatives market was recently published by the Europe Security and Markets Authority, and it found that the nominal value of derivative holdings within the European Union was valued at $536 trillion. London alone handles about 40% of all interest rate derivatives trades for the European Union. And uncertainty continues to grow about the impact that Brexit will have on the strength of major European banks. Confidence in the current system seems to be eroding with each failed promise and debt crisis. If faith in central planning is shaken again like it was in '08, the result could impact the daily lives of almost everyone. The once responsible stewards of the public's wealth have been corrupted by power and greed and self-preservation. And they that have been perpetually fined trivial amounts by inept regulators will continue to make trillions of dollars while the savers and the retirees suffer as a result. And so we sit here wondering whether Mr. Trump's tax package is going to be to our benefit or not. It doesn't really matter. Because if they don't get it from us one way, they're going to get it from us another way. And as a guy that I used to have some broadcasting mechanisms with, all I remember right this minute is he went by the name of Doc. The problem is he wasn't a real doctor. He was kind of a wackadoo. But his saying for years was, "Do you get it, Jack?" You see, they're going to get us one way or the other. They're gambling with our money. Do you understand that? They're gambling with your money. That's why they're only paying you a quarter to a half a percent on a stinking CD. Oh, but they want to suck you into, we'll remortgage your house. We'll get you an equity line of credit for your house. Hey, we're loaning lots of money on cars. We got money markets. Hey, come over here and talk to one of our financial advisors. Because don't worry, the government has got a whole brand new tax package for you. Oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah. It's the roll of the dice. The House always wins. Rarely do you and I win. There is, on to another issue. And tonight's one of those nights I could easily do 2 hours, I'm telling you that right now. There's almost complete unanimity among economists and various commentators about this thing we call inflation. We're told there's nothing to worry about. It's only 2%. What about the general increases in the prices of goods and services? From this, it's established that anything that contributes to price increases sets in motion inflation. Let me give you an example of price increase. Now, I can't tell you what the old prices are and the new prices. Once or twice a week, I'll take my two younger granddaughters as I play taxi cab to get them off to their various schools. And we'll go to McDonald's. Should be able to go in and get a cheap breakfast. I get a senior cup of coffee, which is like, what, 50 cents or something stupid like that. The one kid gets an apple juice to drink. The other one gets a stupid fountain drink. The fountain drinks are a buck. The apple juice probably costs more than the fountain drink. So we went in there yesterday, and my little one, my six-year-old, said, "No, I'm not really hungry today. I just want a drink, just apple juice." And we got inside, and she decided she wanted pancakes. Three trashy garbage little McDonald's pancakes. Not the whole meal, just the pancakes. We don't want the hash browns and the sausage and all the stuff that goes with it. She doesn't want any of that stuff. She just wants the pancakes. Three little junky pancakes. So I ordered the plate of pancakes. The other one wants a couple of hash browns. Well, in the scheme of things, what I should have done is gotten the pancake platter with the hash browns, blah, 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 blah. Cost me $10 to get out of there. For three pancakes, two hash browns, and orange juice, a 50-cent cup of crappy coffee. McDonald's used to have good coffee. It's now garbage. I mean, it's bottom of the barrel. It's almost like they're recycling their grounds and putting something in it. The stuff is horrible tasting. $10. Are you kidding me? With the exception of the apple juice, I could have recreated the whole meal at home for about $2.50, $3. Inflation. A fall in unemployment, a rise in economic activity is seen as a potential inflationary trigger. Now, some other triggers like a rise in commodity prices or workers' wages, they're guarded as potential threats. But if inflation is just a general rise in prices, as the popular thinking has it, then why is it regarded as bad news? What kind of damage does inflation do? Of course, mainstream economists maintain that inflation causes speculative buying, which generates waste. Inflation, it is maintained, also erodes the real incomes of pensioners and low-income earners and causes a misallocation of resources. Inflation, it is argued, also undermines real economic growth. Now, why should a rise in prices hurt some groups of people and not others? How does inflation lead to the misallocation of resources? Why should a general rise in prices weaken real economic growth? Well, the answer to the first question is real simple. Why should a general rise in prices hurt some groups of people and not others? Because we all need gasoline. We all need food. Oops, I'm sorry. Those two items are no longer included in the inflation figures, are they? In the words of Aretha Franklin, who's zooming who? As a matter of fact, Michael, see if you can find that song. Who's zooming who? By Aretha Franklin. Aretha, yeah. Oh, geez. Be a good one to play way out of the break. I always like that song because that's the truth. Who's zooming who? We're all being zoomed. I've stated this to you before. The world's oldest profession is not prostitution. It is, in fact, politician. And as the politicians began to stick it to the peeps, a bunch of rather loose women came along and said, wait a minute, we can do the same thing. We can stick it to the people the same way, except we can make money off the deal. I know that may be offensive to some of you. Don't let it offend you. It's there to drive home a point. Politicians came first. Don't kid yourself. The art of screwing people plenty. And that's a takeoff, actually, of an old piece that Ben Franklin wrote. The art of making money plenty. Oh, no, no. The politicians decided to change that up a little bit. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about inflation tonight. We've made our point. We've made our point. Now, later tonight, maybe tomorrow morning, I invite you to go to Kettle Moraine Precious Metals.com. A lot of the commentary we're sharing with you tonight will be posted there in the morning. Not all of it, but some of it. I hope you'll take the time to go do that. Inflation. Boy, ain't it marvelous. Inflation, they tell us, does not exist. And people buy into that? Oh, good Lord. Who did that song, You Got the Mind, I Got the Shaft, something like that? Wasn't it a song about divorce? Oh, yeah, she got the mine and I got the shaft. Yeah. Oh, well, what do you do? That is the reality of what we're living through today. How do we survive it? I'm going to share with you right now that everything I'm discussing on the airwaves tonight is designed to challenge you to think. I'm not going to ask you to pick up your phones and call me for some hot deal tonight. I'm not going to do it. We try to put some very fair deals together for our listeners. And there are those of you who see them and those of you who understand why. And they're buying some gold and they're buying some silver. They're buying some mixed packages, whatever the case may be. I'm not going to do that tonight. That may take the network by surprise, but it's a reality factor. Part of it's a time of the year circumstance. Part of it is I was extremely ill this morning and spent most of the day in bed. Didn't even do my morning program, which I do elsewhere. Did not want to get up. And then when I get up and get things going to try to get this program working and have all sorts of technical difficulties, having to move into a room where I'm more affected by noise around me, I made the determination that no, what becomes important tonight is laying some groundwork. Having general discussions with you. Making you think outside the box. Not maybe inside my box, but it's thinking anyway. Because I'm going to ask you an interesting question. And once again, what I'm going to spend some time doing on the airwaves tonight are tidbits, little teasers, little bits and pieces of a number of things that are building and building and building. And I'm beginning, and I'm openly admitting this, I'm beginning to have some serious doubts about what I've been doing for the last 3-4 years. Now, for those of you who've been around, you know I've been on the air for 22, 23 odd years. I don't even know what it is anymore. No, when did I start? 95? I can't even add it up. You figure it out. I've been a precious metals broker for about 30 years, and I've done very well with it for my family, done very well with it for my clients. But things are changing. It's an old movie with, I believe it was Tom Cruise. It was made entitled Risky Business. And I've been of a mind frame for a long time that there's a lot of new risky business going on. Oh, we just discussed part of it with derivatives. But I'm going to post you with a question. It's one that I've raised. And to the best of my knowledge, I was one of the very first to raise it because I am more and more convinced that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are leading towards a cashless society. But boy, while it's happening, there's a hell of a lot of money to be made. I think I've waited long enough. Maybe that's something I'm going to start doing. And if I do, we're going to be sharing it with you. But you got to bear with me a bit. Got a little bit more homework to do. We got predictions by financial and technology experts all over the world that tell us that a cashless society is coming. And that's not for our benefit. There might be merit to the claim, but we probably won't know until it's too late. But how many years has John Stadtmiller been on the air? How many years have I been on the air? How many years have people like Michael Rivera and so many others that have come and gone been on the air? And each and every one of us, at one time or another, has warned you about a coming cashless society. But now people are sitting around there letting the politicians do to them what they do. And the bankers are right in the mix. Stay with us. We'll be right back because the signs are pointing toward a cashless society. Be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Yeah, baby, who's zooming who? Urethra.
It's a good pump song.
But it fits. Yeah, I know, it's a little bit of a story about some guy that she's dating or whatever the case may be. It's an old song, but the title hits the nail on the head. Who's zooming who? Signs are pointing in the direction of cashless. So, more so than at any time in the last 20-some-odd years we've been together, getting to be a pretty smart idea to stay informed about these developments. Hey, the first tags were RFID. These were the first signal. RFID tags introduces a convenient way to keep track of pets. Seemed like a reasonable idea. Somebody brings a lost dog to the vet. The owner can't be found. The animal gets sent to a shelter. If the dog has been microchipped, it can be reunited with its owner fairly easily. Then people began to tag their children and even themselves, which raised some concerns. Oh yeah, some of that kind of stuff is going on. In the piece a few months ago, some guy just big poop-eating grin on his face was just getting tagged, and he thought it was the coolest thing. Those red flags were validated when RFID tags became mandatory for employees of Cincinnati's video surveillance company, CityWatcher.com. And since then, RFID tags have been pushed as an easy way to manage your finances. The suggestion's been made that an implant in your body may make your physical bank card superfluous someday. That's not a lot different. I mean, come on, they've been working up to this. How many times do I got to talk to you about this? Check guarantee cards. You go to Walmart, right? You sit down and write that check out. You pull out the check guarantee card that the bank gave you. That guarantees Walmart or whatever you choose to do business with, Ralph's Market, etc., the fact that whether there's money there or not, the bank guarantees payment of that. Except that those check guarantee cards had a little MasterCard or Visa logo on them. And pretty soon they became little cards that you could take to the ATM. Or you could use it as a debit card. Instant payment directly out of your account, baby. And you know what? Within minutes of your having whooped out that card and used it to pay a bill at the grocery store, guess what? Guess what? That money is instantly removed from your account. Yep, it's taken right out. Just another form. Oh, and then, of course, over this last 20-some-odd years we've been together, we've watched numerous upgrades to our currency system with embedded chips in them. All sorts of so-called little security devices. Well, that's all they're going to do with an implanted chip, RFID tag, whatever you want to call it. They're going to refer to it as security. I mean, the idea would be to implant everybody with a chip, right? Not only would serve as a locator, but would connect you to your individual bank account wirelessly. If you don't pay your taxes or behave responsibly, access to your funds may simply be shut off. Let me tell you a story. The year would have been about 1987 or 1988. I was part owner of an electronics firm up in northern Arizona. It was called Teledigit. Now, Teledigit had two kinds of businesses they did. It originally began as a security alarm company. And they specialized in doing businesses and residential. There were two big names in the residential market that our firm had done. Charlie Keating was one of them. Charlie Keating was the owner and developer of something called the Continental Homes subdivisions around Arizona and other places. Charlie always paid his bills to us, and he actually was quite a nice guy. The other guy, whose name is going to Lincoln Ragsdale. Lincoln Ragsdale was a black man who billed himself as the second richest Nick in the country. I can't use that word on the air. It starts with an N. He was one of the World War II black pilots that became so infamous. And in private life, he became, in effect, an undertaker, owned a series of funeral parlors, and he was a very wealthy man. And we were in on the ground floor of Lincoln Ragsdale's project. And in his contract, he called for a 6-inch slab. Now, Flagstaff is at a 7,000-foot elevation. It gets DFC up there. Cold. Real cold in the wintertime. In fact, don't bother planting any flowers or vegetables before Memorial Day, because guaranteed you're going to get a freeze and it's going to kill them and you got to start all over again. I personal guarantee, I tell you that. Well, Ragsdale, house is going up, the kitchen cabinets, the bathroom stuff is going in, etc. He comes up there one weekend, starts digging around. Oh, but these are their weekend homes, by the way. He starts digging around and began to realize that, wait a minute, these fools, they only put a 4-inch foundation in here. They in violation of the contract. So he contacts his lawyer. His lawyer contacts the building contractor, who puts a complete and total halt on the job, because guess what? They got to go in, and they've got to jackhammer the entire 4-inch foundation up, rejack everything, and pour what was contracted for. Now, once Lant Ragsdale's place was open, he had a huge party. All the contractors were invited to go to the party as well. And we, because we had done the security and fire alarm system, we were there. And I walked into Mr. Ragsdale's dining room, which was huge. Lincoln Ragsdale had had a giant mural painted, an oil painting, for his dining room. And this painting depicted a dining room table full of bountiful foods, everything you could possibly want to eat. And right smack dab in the middle of it was a giant watermelon sliced open. That's the kind of sense of humor Ragsdale had. Now, I share this with you as a basis and a foundation for what we did. I developed the business telephone system side of the operation. We did a lot of work up on the reservation. We wound up doing the majority of the medical practice offices, dental, chiropractor, MDs, etc. Eventually, we wound up doing the hospital. We did the entire public school system for the city of Flagstaff. We did school districts in St. John's and Eager and Springerville. We went up to Page. We did stuff in Williams and in Holbrook and in Winslow. I remember doing the Winslow Police Department out there. And I'm a sales guy. I'm not a tech. But I was deeply involved with the technical side with all my people. I was always there on the premise when an installation was going in for many, many, many reasons. That's just the nature of my commitment to clients, always has been. We got a call from one of the companies we'd done a telephone system for called Toe Dene Industries. Now, if I remember the proper translation, it meant the people. This was up on the Navajo Reservation. Ownership and management of the business were Anglo, but the people who worked there were all Navajo, and they were a great group of people. 1988 people. What I learned about them is they are the ones who developed the steering wheel control systems for General Motors automobiles back in the 80s. You know, whether it be your speed control, I can't even think what it's called right now, cruise control, other things. And I don't have it anymore, but for years I had embedded in plastic a complete control board that they had given me, which was exactly what the control board was that was installed in General Motors cars, predominantly Cadillac at that point in time, upper end at Oldsmobiles, that gave you steering wheel control mechanisms. They called us and had us come up to do a private job. This company was open 24 hours a day. They never shut their business down. This is 1988, people. What is that, almost 30 years ago? The job that we were hired to do was a very special custom cabling and wiring job. No, it was simple. The cable and wiring was all going to connect to their time clocks. You know, the employees would come in and they'd punch their time card to get the proper pay. 1988. They were no longer going to be using time clocks. They would come in and hold their hand up to the reader. 1988. I knew then. The handwriting was on the wall. The idea to implant everyone with a chip. Hey, unless you monkey around with your fingerprints or your handprints and everything else, bingo, you're embedded already. What happens if you burn your hand or cut your hand over the weekend? You go in and try to scan your hand to sign in for work, and it doesn't read. They have to go take a new image. And you begin to scan your scars as well. Oh, yeah. Every step along the way. But the second signal that we're on the path to 1984, cash. Cash is becoming more and more scarce, more and more restricted. And many folks assume the Federal Reserve is printing money as if it's going out of style. The truth is, it ain't really printing money at all. They're doing something potentially far more risky. They have been allocating $4 trillion to support investment errors and economy-sapping ideas, which some experts have asserted is blocking a true economic recovery. Regardless of what the agency is doing, many have noticed it's becoming increasingly difficult to use cash in our society. Banks like J.P. Morgan Chase no longer allow cash deposits unless the person seeking to make the deposit has a Chase account in good standing. If your friend overdraws his account by $20, you can no longer assist him with a cash infusion unless you have a Chase account as well. And if your account is in negative numbers, you must make up the deficit before you'll be allowed to deposit more funds on behalf of your friend. It's not yet illegal to possess cash, but it's almost as if we're headed in that direction. Banks are being instructed to file a suspicious activity report when a customer withdraws $5,000 or more from her own account. Then there's the Combating Money Laundering, Terrorist Financing, and Counterfeiting Act of 2017. That's inspired even greater concern. Oh, you haven't heard of that one? Oh, according to this bill, it will be illegal to possess more than $10,000 in unregistered assets of any kind, including cash, Bitcoin, bonds, and even prepaid phones and gift cards. And if you don't fill out a form and report your assets to government, the authorities can take everything you own, even if your assets were obtained legally. That tails me down another story I came across today about a man up in Wyoming or Montana who got a traffic ticket that normally would be a $25 fine. The courts confiscated $92,000 of this man's cash assets. I don't know if they froze his bank, took it out of his safe and home. I don't know what the story was. Well, the courts awarded the man's favor. He got his money back. Boy, that's a rarity. But you still got some decent judges up in Montana and Wyoming. This ain't like Oregon and Californicate, places like that. This is getting spooky. This is getting real spooky. Look, the one thing that both of these mentioned signs have in common is that on some level, each was presented initially as a useful idea. The public accepted it in one form or another. I mean, microchipping pets was accepted. It evolved from there. Such examples are reasonably obvious to the average person, though. A greater worry is when the signs are no longer obvious. One that seems to have slipped below the radar is the rapidly growing popularity of the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies. And let's just put the profit potential aside for a few minutes. Bitcoin is the embodiment of the cashless society predicted by those who sought to warn citizens for years. People like me. How do we know that Bitcoin and other similar cyber currencies are not being activated to persuade us to willingly accept the final step of moving to this cashless society? The only way to stay on top of coming developments is to pay attention to the cycles. Everything moves in cycles, you know. Bitcoin's no exception. For years, it remained largely unknown. Now it's being embraced in certain circles. Next, it could become mandatory for particular types of transactions. Looks as if Visa may already be onto that one. Oh, yeah. Every facet of our lives, my friends, is governed by specific and reliable cycles and rhythms. Food grows in a cycle, and when it's eaten, the body breaks down food in a cycle, and if you got any smarts, you'll lose it to fertilize the next. Never mind. Then you've got your circadian rhythm, the cycle that governs the biology of sleep, adapts to natural fluctuations of available light. Natural sunlight is essential for reducing vitamin D3. And the less light you're exposed to, the more your body's cycles can be altered, not necessarily for the best. Similarly, the more we're exposed to mechanisms of control that are implemented in cycles, the more we're likely to adapt to those limitations as the new norm. Oh, Bitcoin may be the latest and most influential, and there's no denying its usefulness for now. The question is whether or not it may take an unexpected sharp turn in another direction. And these are things that one has to give serious consideration to. And then we take it down to the final step. The final step. As the transition towards a blockchain-based economy continues, the established financial powers are desperately trying to stay relevant. And in an attempt to boost their credibility, analysts at Deutsche Bank are finally admitting that state-run fiat currencies are becoming obsolete. For years, blockchain entrepreneurs and other critics of central banking have been branded either as conspiracy theorists or criminals. But recently, these controversial opinions about the inevitable changes coming to the world's financial system are being echoed by mainstream pundits. Deutsche Bank's top strategist, Jim Reed, recently articulated a view on the economy that is shared by many but rarely talked about. He said central banks and governments, which have dined out on the 35-year secular structural decline in inflation, are not able to prevent it rising, as raising interest rates to suitable levels would risk serious economic contraction given the huge debt burden economies face. And as such, they're forced to prioritize low interest rates and nominal growth over inflation control, which could herald in the beginning of the end of global fiat currency system that began with the abandonment of Bretton Woods back in 1971. So maybe that is what's going to turn out to be the biggest mistake that Nixon ever made. Not the closure of the gold, but all that's followed. But the most surprising part came when Reed acknowledged the crucial role that cryptocurrencies may play in the move away from unbacked paper money. He said, although the current speculative interest in cryptocurrency has more to do with blockchain technology than a loss of faith in paper money, at some point there will likely be some median of exchange that becomes more universal and a competitor of paper money. You see, the trust by the people, the people's trust in centralized control of currencies has never been directly challenged on this scale before. Competition in the emerging digital economy between different cryptocurrencies has introduced an alternative monetary system that empowers the individual and rewards based on merit, not on special interests. And any paradigm shift like this is guaranteed to have growing pains. But those who refuse to adapt will suffer the most. And even though Bitcoin and Ethereum and countless other blockchain applications may create tremendous value for years to come, the current volatility is still more than most can stomach. And one of the first things new people in the space love and hate is the tendency toward massive swings in price that occur seemingly at random. And those who decide to get involved need to make their primary focus self-education, trying to stay objective without understanding the fundamentals behind issues like scalability and forks and different algorithms and mining incentives are all going to be nearly impossible. And the reactions driven by ignorance and greed and fear are all amplified in these new unregulated markets, meaning there is no safety net for amateurs. These wild fluctuations will eventually level out as a broader adoption occurs and the ability for major players to manipulate price diminishes. Before building a large position in crypto, it may be more important to develop a strong understanding of the technology and the history. Deutsche Bank, Morgan, the Pirate, Bank of America, other pillars of the financial world will continue to play catch-up in this dynamic process of decentralization. And if the public continues to wait for the opinions of these so-called experts, the public's going to miss the opportunities that lie on the cutting edge of the blockchain market. As the new currencies around the world cut ties with the central banks, it's crucial for individuals to not leave their financial fate to the once trusted investment experts. That, my friends, is the key to all of this. To stop leaving your financial fate to the trusted investment experts. The banks, the stockbrokers, the mutual fund hawkers, those in insurance who are peddling the living daylights out of annuities, one of the biggest ripoffs that's known to exist. It's up to you. Start making the right decisions. We are going to spend the time to educate you as much as we possibly can, but I'm going to tell you something. We got a long way to go. And Carol, if you're up there listening tonight, maybe you finally got to me. It all makes sense. It's coming. Whether you're prepared to be a part of it. Who cares if the IRS now wants to know who you are? They know who you are anyway. They know if you make any profit on a stock or a bond. Let them know that you're making it on cryptocurrencies. Tough beans. If the stories I'm getting from people who I know that have invested and have profited heavily with this, it's not going to matter. It's going to put you far ahead of anything you've ever touched in your life. But don't, under any circumstances, negate the safety and the security of the world's oldest form of currencies. Gold, silver, and copper. And at Kettle Marine, I can help you in each of those directions. But the time may be to start getting educated and start putting a piece of your money into crypto. It may not last forever. It may be the complete future. We don't know. It's a roll of the dice that I think it's time we all begin to participate in. And so, at what point in time are you going to make the move? I don't know. Maybe I should just become a cryptocurrency broker. What the heck do I know? I'll be in touch, Carol. Thanks for being with us tonight. You'll find a lot more about all this stuff tomorrow or late tonight at KettleMarinePreciousMetals.com. Go to RepublicBroadcasting.org. Click on our link with the little silver button. That'll take you to the treasure chest for now. Click on the home button. Start to read. Start to get educated. I will see you Thursday night right back in this same chair. Thanks for your patience and your valuable time tonight. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and good buy. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.